Today on Wings, women in Kenya call for long-awaited reparations for politically instigated violence.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Both under the British and since independence, Kenya has suffered periodic outbreaks of political and ethnic violence. Non-governmental organizations have convinced successive governments to support a transitional justice commission to promote national healing. The commission surveyed the public, heard witness testimony, and discussed laying charges against perpetrators and paying reparations to victims. But many women who suffered huge losses, sexually, culturally, and economically, still see no relief. Human Rights Watch is calling to speed up the process. Diana Wanyoni reports from Kenya.
After the 2007-2008 post-election violence, the Kenyan government established a Truth, Justice and Reconciliation Commission, TJRC, to help heal historical grievances. The TJRC looked into injustices and human rights violations that happened between 1963 and 2008 and compiled a report that outlines a reparations framework for a broad range of rights violations, including sexual violence. The TJRC received a total of 1,104 statements representing 2,646 women and 346 men who were victims of sexual violence during security operations by police and military, political, resource and ethnic conflicts, massacre, unlawful detention and torture. Sexual violence was inflicted through rape, sexual enslavement and slavery, forced circumcision of men, genital mutilation, male castration and sexual assaults, such as tying women's breasts with rubber bands, squeezing their breasts with pliers, and squeezing men's testicles. The atrocities caused physical, psychological, and social harm to both the victims and their families. Among the five recommendations in the TJRC report to address the sexual violations was the provision of reparation for survivors of sexual violence. Maimuna Sudi, this is not her real name, is a rape survivor of the Wagala massacre of ethnic Somalis by Kenyan security forces on 10th February 1984 in Wajir County. According to a commissioner with the TJRC, the Wagala massacre represent the worst human rights violation in Kenya's history. Showing me the scars she sustained on her right thighs and hands during the incident, Maimuna said that she was raped by police officers who were holding their husbands hostage.
Kutoka Wajir County, kwa shida ile tulikuja hapa, na shida ya 1984, Wagala Masaka. February, tare, kumi, amaansa, kusanya, wanaume yetu. Na hiyo wanaume, anabilika, kawanja, ya Wagala.
I'm from Wajir County. The reason why we are here is because of the 1984 Wagala massacre. On 10th February, they grouped together our men and they took them from their homes to Wagala playing ground. We started crying and decided that we must search for our men. We packed and carried milk, tea and water so as to take the food to them as we were optimistic that we will find them. We started our journey on foot. As we were walking through the thicket, we noticed that police officers were dressed in camouflaged uniform that resembled thicket.
Asubuhi hiyo watu ndio sisi tunataka kujua bali ameenda. Nataka kupatia maji na chai. Sisi hatutaka kusikia jina yake. Siku yenu ya misho ni leo.
When they saw us, they asked where we were going. We told them, we are going to search after our men who you took from our homes a few hours ago using 25 lorries. We want to give them water and tea. They answered back that they don't want to hear whatever we are telling them. Police told us that today is our last day. After today, if you are searching for your men, we are your husbands. There are not any men for you other than us, whether you like it or not. We pleaded them to take us where our husbands are, but they instead started to beat us. Women started running away, but they were all numbed by the police.
Daktari ndio anaangusha mimi. Wakati anaangushwa mimi sasa unasimika hapo. Akili yangu amabotia hapo. Hiyo askari anatumia haja yake, mimi ikaanguka hapo. Wakati ya jioni watu natafuta tena watu tena ndio narogota mimi. Askari anafanya mimi kwa rap, anafanya kijinsia, mimi kalia sasa.
I remember 5 police officers pulled me down by force. They started raping me one by one. I fainted. Luckily enough, I was rescued by good Samaritans who were passing. I sustained many injuries in my body. I can't forget about this scar in my thigh. After the incident, we were unable to speak openly to anyone or what happened to us. We were afraid of the police officer, and when we heard the name police station, we were very frightened, as we thought we were going to be raped again.
Kisikia jina ya station, tunafikiria tu kama sisi tunaelekea tena wagala. Tunafichika tu ndani ya yumba. Siri yetu hata tunanyamaza habo habo.
During Kenya's referendum process, that is when the human rights group came and gave us guiding and counseling, and also empowered us to disclose openly about the violations that we underwent and also the need for us to fight for our rights. They assured us that the Kenyan Constitution has rights that protect us, and that is when we shook away our fears and started fighting for our rights. TJRC also came and we traveled with them to Nairobi to file our complaints. We came back to Wajir after we completed all the processes, but unfortunately, up to date, we have not gotten any assistance. Our children are not in school, they are still at home, and the Kenyan government has not intervened in our matter. 38 women were raped during the Wagala matter in Wajir, and some died. We needed a gender-based recovery center where the victims will be able to meet and discuss openly about gender-based violence and empower each other to speak out freely on our rights.
Tunataka haki yetu. Tena tunataka bahali ya kina mama wale wanafanya kwa kijinsia. Yumba ya kukutana, tujengiwe, tueleze shida yao, kila mtu shida yake aseme.
Teresa Wafula, this is also not her real name, is another victim of sexual abuse. This happened during the post-election violence of 2007-2008 in the Mount Elgon area of Western Kenya, where the rebel Sabaot Land Defense Force and the Kenyan military were responsible for killings, torture and rape of civilians.
Nimefurahia shirika hili la Human Rights kwa sababu wamechukua nafasi hii kutusaidia sisi hata watu wa kutoka vijijini. Kuanzia 2007, 2008. Hasa sisi kina mama tuliumia sana, na hata wakati watu kupata matibabu kama sisi wa mama ambaye tulirepiwa nikiwa mmoja wao.
I am very happy because of this Human Rights Watch group, because it has helped us women who come from rural areas. In the 2007-2008 post-election violence, we women were raped, suffered a lot, and we didn't have access to medical attention. Up to date, the Kenyan government has not helped us or given out directives to any relevant ministry to help women who were raped.
Kenya wajetoa chugumu kuhusu serikali ya Kenya, wao serious, mefukuzwa hata watoto wanaishi kibweke tu kwa sababu ya masumbuko ya kina mama.
We are isolated by our husbands, chased away, and some of the women have already been divorced. Their children are living in pathetic condition because the mothers are being victimized. Let the government give their victims money to buy land so as to settle and take care of their children. Most of them engaged in selling jerrycans of water and stacks of firewood so as to cater for their family needs.
Nashukuru kwa mama kama hao, wampa wa pesa wa kujisaidi. Hata angalau wanunulie kila mtu plot yake tu, ya kutosha tu plot ila settle maisha yake hapo na ajue vile atalisha watoto yake.
Teresa lost both her husband and her businesses during the violence and has not received any compensation to date. She says many women survivors are still languishing in poverty, pain and rejection.
Asa mimi nisema kama mimi natoka Mount Elgon.
Like me, I came from Mount Elgon. I used to be an independent woman with well-established business. But during the 2007-2008 tribal clashes, I lost everything. We were raped by uniformed men dressed in police gear. We are now demanding the government to compensate us because our lives have changed from grass to grass.
Mishara yangu, tulikuwa tunaenda kwa msitu, watoto wanarepiwa, sisi wa mama tunarepiwa. Ulikuwa unaambia nani? na wakati hakuna serikali ya kusimama.
I live in my neighbor's house. I depend on fetching firewood in the Mount Elgon forest and selling them, though I'm still afraid because many girls and women were raped over there, but I have to set food on my table. As we are heading to election, we are pleading with the government not to let again what happened during the post-election of 2007 and 2008. Let them work together with the stakeholders and find a way of sensitizing the citizens and the police officers on the need to vote wisely and avoid such events to reoccur.
Kura ikija, ama wakati utakuenda kufort, iwe siri ya mtu ndani ya roho yake. Isiwe kwe, ama iwe kama watu wa politicians.
Let them be careful with people's life, because when clashes start, it is us who suffer most. And for political leaders, they should also be careful with what they utter in public so as to avoid incitement messages. Women should also be empowered on the need of voting, because in rural areas, women's voices are not heard in front of men. As per traditional settings, let no one coerce us to vote for them, but rather we have the right to make our own right decisions for whoever we choose.
Tunaenda kuvote kura kwa mtu fulani. Na wewe mwenyewe kwa roho yako unajua mtu mwenye unaenda kuvote. So let our vote be a secret.
According to Agnes Odhiambo, a researcher with the Women's Rights Division of Human Rights Watch, rape survivors are still facing stigma in their families and their communities. She blames the Kenyan government for not fully handling and tackling the issues of victims of gender-based violence and ensuring they get justice.
Hawa wamama wako yani na ile right ya kushughulikiwa na serikali.
These women have the right to be helped by the government because they are devastated, because the government is unable to help and protect them, and that is why we are here. These women have said that they are still stigmatized by their families and the community at large. They are infected with sexual transmitted diseases. Some are beaten by their husband. Some are still hemorrhaging and have fistula. They are homeless and they have a lot of problems. They have gotten no justice from 2007 up to now because most of the victims could not access medical services after the violation because of the post-election violence. There was no time to go to the hospital to get the evidence. So when they got to the hospital, they could not produce evidence, and some women are still not able to identify the men who violated them. But also there are ways the government could use to ensure that they hold accountable the perpetrators. What we are witnessing is that there is no willingness from the government to show that the perpetrators are responsible for the things they did.
Kufanya watu wajibike hata kidogo.
As Kenya is preparing to hold general elections in August 2017, Odhiambo is concerned that most of the survivors of rape will be afraid to take part in the voting for fear of being a soft target to perpetrators again.
What is saddening us is that we are heading to the general election, and these women say that they fear a lot, that during the election period they hide because they are not willing to cast their votes, and that's why we are questioning the government about how many times will these women suffer because of the trauma of election that haunts them, because it reminds them how they were violated during the 2007-2008 general election.
Shao mafikira na waendelea tu kuumia na kuwaza.
In March 2015, in his annual address to the nation, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta offered an apology to the country's citizen for all past wrongs committed by the current and past government. He said a 10 billion Kenya shillings fund, equivalent to $100 million, will be established for a period of 3 years to be used for restorative justice. Here in Kenya, reparations are means of compensation given to an abuse or injury. Jacqueline Mutere is the founder of the community-based Grace Agenda, an organization that supports women and girls who survived sexual violence in Kenya. She elaborates more on restorative funds.
Tangu Mheshimiwa Rais help to a 10 billion restoration fund.
Since President Uhuru Kenyatta gave out the 10 billion restoration fund, we have been having a hard time to reach him and tell him that there has been gender-based violence that had far-reaching and long-lasting effects. And that is why we want to discuss and understand each other by bringing together victims and policymakers so as to show them far-reaching effects of the violence so that we can solve the matter once and for all. When the victims are compensated or helped by the government, it will bring a great relief to them. When they hear politicians uttering inciting speeches in public, they know that this can trigger different actions and reactions from people, leading to clashes or skirmishes. And it reminds them of what they encountered in the past. And as you can see, they still have pain inside them because they have not fully healed. Some of the victims who are still traumatized and lonely end up committing suicide because they see their lives to be had since they were raped, infected with HIV virus, got unwanted children, and also are isolated and discriminated against in the society. This is why they don't like or get excited about the electioneering period.
Kitu cha jambo la uchaguzi sio jambo la raha kwao, sio jambo la furaha hata kidogo.
She adds that the Kenyan government should also take responsibility for children who are born because of sexual abuse because they are prone to rejection.
Sasa ukiona tena mtu amepata mtoto kutokana kwa hiyo dhulma.
Moreover, the community sees a woman who has given birth to a child through rape. They always want to hide the child because of what that child represents, because they believe it's a shame. And even the child can be discriminated against in the society. That is why we are saying that whether the child was born legally or illegally, the child is still a Kenyan. And that's why the government should help these children and their mothers, because they are prone to rejection all the time. And if it's not handled much earlier at the tender age, the children might grow up as gangsters or armed robbers. To me, I have a strong feeling that it's their right that we give them reparation and other compensations. One of the things that need to be prioritized is giving the children first priority because they are also Kenyans.
Serikali inaweza kuangazia watoto. One of the things, kitu cha muhimu sana, ni watoto washughulikiwe because pia ni wa Kenya. Yes.
Agnes Odhiambo of Human Rights Watch has the following recommendation for the Kenyan government about helping rape survivors in the country.
Jambo la kwanza tunataka kwanza ni serikali ijue na irecognize wale watu waliadhilika kwa njia ya kubakwa wapo.
What we want is for the government to know and recognize that sexually abused victims are there and they have problems and they have right to get reparations. We also want policy on how reparation will be gotten, to look for victims, to register them, get the evidence, and also involve women in the reparation process.
And na wanauzishwa katika ile kudesign na monitoring ya the reparations policy.
My name is Betty Sharon. I am the executive director of Coast Women in Development, and I am also the editorial director of The Voice magazine. Coast Women in Development is a national NGO started 10 years ago. It's a grassroots women non-profit organization. Women and girls are our first priority, although we deal with the whole community. The Voice is an online magazine. And because nowadays with technology, it has gone up to the grassroots. Women can read even on their phone. Instead of buying a magazine, they can buy something else. With a half a dollar bundle, a woman can read my magazine for 3 or 4 days. The Voice magazine raises the rejected voices of the women. The themes are what are affecting women, like health, peace, insecurity, domestic violence, education, citizen participation, leadership, reproductive health. It's women speaking about themselves, women speaking about their challenges, the experience they have gone through, the land rights of the women who have been violated sexually, the women who have been violated culturally, the patriarchal system in our culture that hinders women from inheriting land, although it is in the constitution. the patriarchal system that violates the rights of women, although the constitution protects the rights of the women. The difference between constitution and culture, although we have these laws, they are not implemented, and culture seems, although constitutions should be more superior than any other law on land, but culture seems to be more superior than constitution when it comes to the rights of women.
Mm-hmm. Talking about rights of women, you can remember in 2007, 2008, post-election violence that happened in Kenya. Many women were physically abused, others sexually, and now they are demanding for reparations from the government. What is your take as a feminist?
The president promised about $10 billion to be used on the survivors of sexual gender-based violence during election, but nothing has happened. We worked with these women. We know them. There is no single woman whom I know who can say that I've been supported. If this money have benefited some of the survivors, we would like to know who they are. If this money have not benefited any survivor, can government work with the people who work with GBV prevention? Because already we are going to an election, but there is a phobia, and especially the women who went through sexual gender-based violence.
And what do you think about children who are also affected?
The children who are affected, most of them are even psychiatric problem, and even the children have not got that comprehensive support. Most of them were even fearing to come out. For the few who came out, some were supported, but most of them seek support on their own. In such cases, the government should support children. As I am talking, we are having a conference, but not through that budget. We are having a conference for women and lawyers and some of the survivors. It will be a conference and a training at the same time for peace and trauma counseling for such cases, for preparation of early warnings. And also these trauma counselors will also support the previous survivors who have not been counseled. I strongly believe that the government should tell us where this money is, because these women are the voters. These women are Kenyan citizens. These women should benefit from the fruits of the constitution and the law of Kenya.
And during the forthcoming conference, whom are we expecting to attend that meeting? And what do you think could be there, some of the things that you'll be talking about?
We are expecting women leaders, religious leaders, NGOs leaders, stakeholders of peace and security, also paralegals, lawyers, court prosecutors. We are going to have survivors of sexual gender-based violence. We are also going to have sex workers there. And we are also going to have the representatives of the judiciary. And most of the things that we are going to talk about is about how to counsel the survivors of sexual gender-based violence, the survivors of the violence cycle of election, and also most of all is about we are going to talk to the judiciary and the lawyers who, especially those who have no feelings for the survivors, because especially when the cases are taken to court and the lawyers of the perpetrators, I think there should be a way of how to interview the survivors especially survivors of sexual violence. In some cases, the way they talk to them indignified them and make them lose self-esteem, and also threaten them and make them fear even to come to court, because some of these cases, some of these questions are when someone is asking you in presence of people, it becomes so traumatic. And going what women goes through and going through it again in court in presence of people, we will also want that cases of sexual violence
if the survivor does not want the case to go in the public, I think they should be given chambers for this case to be listened to. At the moment, the chambers is given only for the children, but it should be given to all.
Okay, lastly, Betty, you have been attending many conferences. What have you learned from the conferences in terms of sexual gender-based violence? Are you implementing it in your organization?
It is true, I've attended a number of conferences, national and international. What I've learned is that when it comes to violence against women, all women of all class, color, status, tribe, all women go through violence. And the patriarchal system that it intimidates women, it is all over the world, including America. And that's why today the president of America is not a woman. I've learned a lot, and that's why I've come up with the Voice magazine, because I've also learned that women, especially the grassroots women, have a lot of stories to tell to the world, but not many people are ready to hear them, especially here in Kenya. The journalists are ready only to hear about the politicians, but not about the voices that are crying out there to be heard. I also learned about working with the perpetrators, and I came with the one and only one project of working with the perpetrators of sexual violence in Kenya. And it was implemented and very successful. And that's why the government of Zimbabwe came here to learn about it. And now they are also implementing it in Zimbabwe. And it is doing very well in Zimbabwe. It's only that we have not got good support, even from the government, even after the government recognized it and used it to create awareness through the TV, national TV in Kenya. But still, they were not ready to support us. It's a very, very good project. These perpetrators, men, we live with them. They are our husbands, our fathers, our brothers, our uncles. We forget that for the system, especially in Kenya, African system, the system in the prison, it is not a system that rehabilitates the perpetrators, but it is a system that punishes them. So after that punishment, they are not rehabilitated. They come back to the society. And when the society, and even there's no project of integrating them back to the society, and then when they are not well integrated back to the society will look at them with the lens of the crime that they committed before they went to the prison. And then they commit the same crime and go back to prison. And if it was a crime of sexual violence, they start raping their own children, defiling them, raping women, so that they get opportunity to go back to the prison. But when we talk with them, rehabilitate them, we make them understand no man was born violent. Violence is learned, and it can be unlearned. And when we make men unlearn violence, we prevent violence.
That was Betty Sharon, Executive Director of Coast Women in Development in coastal Kenya. What remains for the Kenyan government is to ensure justice for the victims of political motivated sexual violence before the August 2017 election. Reporting for Wings, I am Diana Wanyonyi in Mombasa, Kenya.
To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org, and please like our page at facebook.com/wingsradio. Thank you to those who support Wings, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.